It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with a World Series update, Astros fans. At 2:30, why do October 24th and 25th matter? Lots of food days to talk about, including one that celebrates the fried variety. And in mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Joe Cook of Inside Texas on 3 and the 1-0 podcast. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number three. Trey, I was just watching some Tennessee-Kansas City highlights up here. Why would you run a play with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback where you don't have him either fake the ball or roll out or both?
Yeah, I mean, that offense went to another level when they started allowing him to operate on play action as much, if not more, than any quarterback in the National Football League a couple years ago. So I would have him faking a handoff and or rolling one way or the other pretty much every pass play.
The fake always makes you think of Derrick Henry, and you know he's enough of an athlete, former receiver, you know he's enough of an athlete to get out there and do something with it. Had the nice rushing touchdown yesterday. Tennessee, man, 27-3, an emphatic win there. We talked about that. We talked about Arizona and Tampa covering those lines in the NFL, the Rams winning and getting another win, even though it was closer. And then what is going on with those Kansas City Chiefs? Baltimore gets blasted by Cincinnati. And in college, speaking of Cincinnati, the Bearcats barely win but stay at number two. Bama jumps up over OU in that top three, into the three slot, and you've got Big Ten teams ready for a big weekend. Ohio State comes into this weekend at 5. Michigan is 6. Michigan State is 8. Michigan at Michigan State is an 11 a.m. kick, and Ohio State, if they can get by Penn State, will get a huge win in that rival game and set themselves up later in the year for their finish, which is hosting Michigan State and then at Michigan to finish the year. So all that's out there in college football, in addition to the Matt Wells story today. Texas Tech has fired Matt Wells, first reported today by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and Mac Engel. They're the ones that broke it earlier, but 13-17 record. They're 5-3 this year, but apparently not enough. They are done with Matt Wells. Sonny Cumbie is your interim coach for the rest of the season. All right, let's get to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline because we've also got Longhorns to talk about. They're off the bye week and about to head to Waco for another 11 a.m. kick. Let's talk to Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com. We do it every Monday about this time. He's also at JosephCook89 if you want to give him a follow. Joe, how are you?
Doing great, guys. Thanks again for having me on.
And we are always glad to have you. Hope you had a good off weekend and got a chance to recharge. A lot of discussion today at the press conference about recharging and resetting and reassessing and all of that. Give me a general thought about this before we get specific. But what jumped out to you today about Coach Sarkisian coming off of his first bye week at Texas?
Well, rightfully so. It seems like everybody focused on the mental side of what's been plaguing Texas, just those losing those leads and all the different, you know, negative side effects that come with that for a team. And of course, we know that, as we've seen, a lot of it has to do with the offense breaking down in the fourth and the defense getting exhausted. But that's where the mental toughness comes in. And one of the little snippets today was that Sarkisian apparently showed the team, at least according to Ovi Agofo and Bijan Robinson, the documentary about Free Solo, I believe, on Hulu, about the guy who climbed the Dawn Wall. I haven't seen it, so I'm going off of a lot of assumptions, but the guy who climbed Dawn Wall and the toughness that it takes to, you know, go that last 30 feet or something like that to get to the top, or I guess in Texas' case, the last 15 minutes to get through to the win. So a lot of talk about that, and also a lot of respect from Steve Sarkisian for Dave Aranda's Baylor Bears as well.
Yeah, that is an incredible documentary. Sark is obviously talking about looking into the mirror and understanding what he needs to maybe do a little bit differently. We heard that from the previous guy, but he seemed to be very bad about self-evaluation and making the proper changes on his end to better help this football team. Are you more inclined to believe Steve Sarkisian when he says something like that versus Tom Herman?
You know, I think I'm kind of on your, I'm with kind of on your wavelength here. I got to see it to believe it. Every coach talks about making adjustments and fixing problems and, you know, self-introspection. But remember, Charlie Strong didn't get to Texas without having a system that worked well enough at Louisville for Texas to hire him. Same thing with Tom Herman. His system at U of H worked well enough at Houston for Texas to hire him. And Steve Sarkisian's offense was so great that Nick Saban wanted it, the Atlanta Falcons of the NFL wanted it, and Texas wanted it too. So all these guys get to where they are because of things that they've used for so much in their life. So I think why everybody the stubbornness does come out, but it's so hard for a lot of these coaches to change what has gotten them to where they're at. Now, like, that's different than little adjustments. That's not to say that Steve Sarkisian's going to start running the eye or something like that, but a lot of what has, you know, worked in his past is what gets him here now. So I don't know if I can say I'm more inclined to believe him. Not that I don't think he's going to try, but I'm you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I'm not going to try and be fooled again here. And I'm going to wait until Steve Sarkisian proves he can do it to really believe that he can.
And, Joe, we'll find out pretty quickly whether or not he is believing himself with that, because Texas' next two opponents are arguably the two most difficult opponents left on the schedule, and both games are away from Austin, too.
Yeah, and that's we haven't seen Texas do particularly well on the road this year, whether it be Arkansas, even at TCU, they struggled and kind of scratched and clawed to the very end. Baylor, I mean, it's always a loud stadium. They always get pumped up for Texas. And I think also, to be honest, like McLean, the speakers there are on a pretty high level. So that's always a loud place. And then Iowa State, we'll see what happens there, but that's a team and a program that has a lot of energy nowadays. And the Iowans get up to Ames and fill that place up, especially when Texas is there. And now, especially that the Cyclones have become a Big 12 contender. So a lot of the problems that have affected Texas over these past few weeks and even months, that they're going to have these opportunities right in front of them these next couple weeks to say whether or not their efforts to overturn them have worked or not.
Talking with Joe Cook, Inside Texas, on 3.com. And, Joe, you're absolutely right. A lot of times it is you gotta wait and see. If I was a Longhorn fan today, though, I like that admission. It was the next-to-last question right before the Halloween thing about the, you know, where this had gone and trying to adjust when the other team adjusts and all those things. The one thing I thought Steve Sarkisian was going to bring to Texas was constant aggression, that he would stay aggressive in the third and fourth quarters, because that's exactly what I saw him do at Alabama. He admitted basically today, you tell me if I heard this wrong, Joe, he admitted that he's tightened up a little, that he's stopped trusting the guys with the fancier plays later in the game, and he needs to change that. I didn't hear that wrong, did I?
I kind of took it as not so much about maybe his aggression, but what his comfort is with what Casey Thompson and the rest of the offense can do. Of course, it'd be great if the entire playbook were open, but there's things that he knows at this point that Texas runs well. And so maybe the way I took it as, you know, maybe focusing more on what is run well as opposed to trying to mix in everything, even if it's not known to be run well, but just to throw another look at it. I don't think it's too much of a, you know, tightening up in the emotional regard, like, uh-oh, here we go again, but maybe tightening up as far as limiting and focusing on what the right things that he can call and the effective things he can call are.
In terms of the depth chart, which obviously will come out later on this afternoon, he was asked about depth chart today but didn't get into any specifics. Would you expect to see any major shakeups? We obviously saw a shakeup at offensive line in the last game. He talked a little bit about that today, about a couple of those guys. But you expect any major shakeups with the depth chart this afternoon?
I'm not thinking we'll see any, not on the offensive line. I guess where you could see one would be wide receiver, considering aside from one play from Marcus Washington, there hasn't been a whole lot from that group, or there wasn't a whole lot from that group last week. So, and then I think maybe not on the depth chart, but just kind of how it's formed. I think, and this is something I'm going to focus on this week with Inside Texas, and also what something I asked Sarkisian about today. I think you're going to see a good amount of that 3-4, kind of the true 3-4 look that we saw against Oklahoma State against Baylor. Jeff Grimes is big on running wide zone. That's their specialty. That's what they want to be their bread and butter. So I wouldn't look so much for that, but I would notice, you know, who's the starter at any of the offensive line spots, and kind of just think about how those guys would fit into a 3-4 defense after that. But that's my big look at the depth chart, I think. I don't think you're going to see a lot of big names or in different spots or anything like that.
You think we see considerable more of Jalen Ford playing on Saturday at linebacker? And if so, who do you think he's in for?
I think you have to see him some after this past game and with DeMarvin Overshown coming off of a concussion. That's a good question, because I think the linebacker roles may have been mixed up a little bit with Brockermeyer and Overshown switching some of their responsibilities at various junctures of the year. As far as who they come on and off for, I don't know, because it seems like they've been going two-man platoons instead of playing at, putting one in, putting another in. So I think you'll see him continue to play the role that he played for DeMarvin Overshown. I just don't know if they're going to be putting him and Overshown on the field at the same time, or him and Brockmeyer at the same time. I think you're just going to continue to see those two-man platoons.
Joe, did you guys get a chance to talk to any players today, or is that tomorrow?
We got Ovia Gofu, Keandre Coburn, Casey Thompson, and Bijan Robinson today.
Give me an idea for the type of questions that were asked, and just kind of the way those guys seem to you coming off of the off week. Obviously, the idea is to get refreshed and refocused. What was the discussion with you guys and the players?
Yeah, so the revelation about that video, that came from Ogofo, that's where that came from. With him specifically, you know, he was on a playoff team at Notre Dame before transferring to Texas, and he was asked a little bit about, you know, what the mentality is needed to, you know, be able to right the ship and go after things even when they're not going right. And he gave some good answers on that. Bijan Robinson was asked several times, you know, about maybe having to become more of a vocal leader. That's not something he sounded like he's done a lot, but it's one of those things where he's at this point going to have to be. Your best players are always your better leaders. At least for the most part, he's definitely Texas' best player. And even if he isn't one who's up to get in people's face or be all rah-rah about anything, he may have to, because other players know and other teammates know that the message will mean a lot more coming from him.
Joe, before we get to your prediction on Texas-Baylor, I did want to allow you to gloss on your Astros just a little bit. Just how proud are you of this team and their ability to make it back to the World Series this year? And what do you think happens versus the Atlanta Braves?
You know, I whenever I talked with y'all, I think before the ALDS, I said I think the Astros get past the White Sox, but then would run into the Rays. Well, the Red Sox did the Astros a favor and helped. And I don't think the Astros had a good matchup against the Rays. I think they had a great matchup against the Red Sox, as we saw. And I'm especially proud of you got to be most proud of Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia. I mean, this is a team that basically is going to be without Lance McCullers, with a limited Zach Greinke, no Justin Verlander. And then you have those two guys come in and basically just start mowing down pitchers or mowing down hitters. The Luis Garcia start was one of the Framber Valdez is one of my favorite players, but that Garcia start was more gratifying, because you could just tell he was trusting his stuff, trusting that fastball, and told a team that was willing to lay off of bad pitches, I'm going to give you good pitches. It's up to you to hit it. And they could not do it except for, you know, at the tail end of his outing in the sixth. But by then, the Astros kind of had all the runs they needed, and Kyle Tucker added three more at the very end. So, now with the Braves coming, I'm just really happy that the Dodgers are not involved here. It's kind of funny to see the West Coast media think that the coronation is being robbed of their Dodgers, even though they won a World Series last year. I'm great with that. Who would have thought that two NL West teams would be battling out for a World Series title? I can see the Astros taking this one. If the Braves have to go through bullpen days, I think the Astros have just – I don't think their starting pitching situation is great, But I think it's better than the Braves right now having to go through bullpen days, and that Astros lineup remains potent. Just got to see what happens when they go to NL Park to keep Jordan Alvarez and Michael Brantley in the lineup.
All right, Joe, before we let you go, we are guaranteed somebody's going to be streaking coming out of Waco. Is it a Longhorn three-game losing streak and a Baylor three-game win streak, or do the streaks stop? What do you think?
I always tell y'all about going back to my preseason prediction, and maybe I'm just stubborn. I'm going to stick with it. I think they're going to be able to top Baylor. I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. This may be kind of an ugly one, as they tend to be in Waco at 11 a.m. But I think Texas can win this one. And as we've kind of seen this team over the past few years, it's first to 30 wins. And I don't even know if either team's going to reach 30. I might think about the under here if anybody's so inclined. But, you know, I'm just going to stay stubborn and say Texas wins this one. But I'm not optimistic about I'm even less optimistic about next week up in Ames or whenever it is. The calendars are kind of locked on me after the bye week.
Yeah, no, it is next week. That is two tough ones in a row, Texas and Baylor, this Saturday morning at 11. Joe, we always appreciate the time, man. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, Joe.
It's Joe Cook, InsideTexasOn3.com, at Joseph Cook 89. Yeah, if Baylor gets it, it will be a three-game win streak, and then the Longhorns' three-game losing streak would continue. So I guess it's the Longhorns that want to stop the streaks altogether, right? Stop that winning streak and stop their losing streak at the same time. That's what I meant to say. Texas and Baylor, 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. Up next, it is October 25th. We'll tell you why it matters to us, including something that's just always fun to eat that gets its own national day today. We got some birthdays to hit as well. Hope you are having a good Monday. Biggest story of the day, it's got to be out of Lubbock, where Matt Wells is done at Texas Tech. Sonny Cumbie is your interim coach. Hey, Coach Cumbie, good news. Your first game is at number 4, Oklahoma. Have fun. Oh, and by the way, your defense at times has not been terrific. There you go. More coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Trey's got some new music for you today to be on the lookout for. What do you got, Trey?
I like a lot of what I hear from La Luz. This song, I Won't Hesitate, not amongst the songs that I'm all that crazy about, at least okay. On first listen.
La Luz with some new music out there. We've also heard from Government Mule, Bush, The Rolling Stones, and Parquet Courts all have new stuff out there for you today. Everything hits on Fridays now. We bring it to you on Mondays a lot of the time on the show. We'll hit you on Fridays with it sometimes too. But get out there and grab some new music if you love it. Speaking of music, hopefully the Billy Joel show went well over the weekend. I've not talked to anybody who went out to the show, but I know F1 had another big weekend. Shout out to our guys, Stu Myrick and Rodney Rodriguez, for covering things for the Horn out there. A lot of traffic, a lot of issues. Apparently today, Trey, was the busiest day they've had at the airport, maybe ever, but certainly in a long, long time, getting everybody out of town.
Well, yeah, Austin Film Festival is going on right now as well, and I wish the city would get a little bit better about coordinating big events in town. Like, yeah. Obviously, F1 is its own thing. That needs to be treated like ACL Fest is treated, where you're really not doing anything else that weekend. You probably want to make sure it doesn't coincide with the home game, too. That happened this year, but we also have Austin Film Fest. It did create a big mess downtown.
Yeah, no doubt. Hope everybody had a good time if you went out there and you didn't get too much of that traffic issue. A lot of football on the board. Cowboys and Longhorns come off of the bye week with very different feels to them. If you're a fan of both of those teams, your feelings are maybe not completely opposite from one another, but in the case of the Cowboys, you have maybe a belief that they can be one of the best teams in the NFC and possibly fight for that championship. On the Longhorn side of it, Trey, where are you today with this team? Because you're sitting at 4-3. You could end up, you could come out, you could come back home as a 6-3 football team. You could be a 5-4 football team, or you could be a 4-5 football team.
I think the most reasonable expectation right now is 5-4, dare I say 4-5.
Mm.
These are going to be two very difficult games to win just because of what this Texas football team's weaknesses are right now and what they don't play well against. And that is fundamentally sound physical defenses and really stout rushing attacks have caused this Texas football team problems the last three games now. And they're 1-2 in those games. And Steve Sarkisian, as a head coach, is not very good against ranked opponents or on the road. His next two opponents are ranked and on the road.
Yep.
I think a 1-1 split is very realistic, if not overly optimistic in a sense. 2-0, do I hope that happens? Absolutely. But like what Joe said last segment, I'm going to have to see the proof in the pudding before I start believing that this football team is learning from its mistakes and making the necessary adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the talent discrepancy, of course, but part of that is these coaches seemingly clamming up in big situations when they need to buy into that Steve Sarkisian all gas, no brakes mantra.
Yeah, what I'm hoping we're watching is an evolution of sorts. We certainly saw a game where nothing ever got started, the Arkansas game.
Mm-hmm.
Then we saw a game where everything clearly got started well.
I'm willing to forget about that game, by the way. That game was early in the season. It does feel like more of a one-off versus these last couple of games.
We've seen two now, though, where you got started. And I understand what he means when he's saying, well, clearly we're capable. Because if you're up 28-7 on OU, if you're up multiple scores on Oklahoma State and you're driving to go up 24-3, clearly you can do it. It's not like you're completely incapable of doing it. Mm-hmm. I get that logic. It's just the ability of continuing it, pushing through, and you know, finishing the game. So let's see what that looks like. A lot of times we don't give teams enough credit for beating teams they're supposed to beat really badly. You don't know how to look at a 75-0 game or whatever. But the other thing we sometimes don't give credit for, Trey, is what do they do in the off week? Fans just stew about it and get upset and whatever. But if they really put the work in, if they really look themselves in the mirror, we could see a different football team in Waco on Saturday morning. For the sake of Texas fans and Sarkisian, you hope you do.
I agree, and I also believe that if we see Casey Thompson struggle once again under center, then the conversation will start to surface once again about who needs to be the guy at signal caller for the Longhorns. I don't necessarily know if you make that change to Hudson Card going into another hostile environment in Ames. Hopefully it's an 11 a.m. start. Hopefully it is not a night game because...
Oh, you want the 11 on that one, huh?
Heck yeah, you do. I mean, at that point, I'm just resigned to playing at 11 a.m. the rest of the way.
You're fine. Nobody's ever lost big games in Ames at night. Mike Gundy called me over the weekend. It's fine.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you probably wait to make that move until after the Iowa State game, if at all. But hopefully Casey Thompson picks it up and is no longer throwing indefensible interceptions that really turn the tide in a football game, like what happened on that pick six a little bit more than a week ago.
You think Mike Gundy wishes he was leaving the Big 12 so he didn't have to go to Iowa State anymore?
Yeah.
My God, I bet he's got nightmares about that place.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief. All right, let's get into a little October 25th and tell you why today matters. Here we go.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
We'll also throw in a little bit of the 24th, which was yesterday. But Trey, the reason today matters, especially for those wearing black and red, is that Matt Wells has been fired by Texas Tech. And earlier we had multiple listeners texting in that they're hearing and that the thought might be that Jeff Traylor might be the guy. UTSA is undefeated still, and he's getting a lot of love in the coaching realm. Could he, that'd be a pretty quick run to go from where he was and get it all the way out to Lubbock for a P5 job. That'd be impressive.
And I truly believe that would be a fantastic hire for the Red Raiders if they were to make it, in part because Jeff Traylor knows what he's doing on the sidelines, but also he's done a phenomenal job of cultivating relationships with high school coaches across this state.
Yep.
He will recruit well there, and he will do a great job with the X's and O's as well, and he'll put guys around him who also really understand what it is that they're doing.
From a personality standpoint, he could be the modern Dykes. He could be their modern
comparison. Yeah,
he could be their modern Spike Dykes.
I think a better football coach, but yes, a similar personality like
that.
But
he's got that
very charismatic.
You have to have a certain feel. Like, I never thought Tuberville made any sense out there.
No, that was a terrible hire
for
them.
You have to feel a certain way. You got to fit in a certain way. Or you got to be Leach and just be a wackadoo.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I think a Bowden would have maybe worked in Lubbock.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, that could have worked.
Terry Bowden.
That could have been an interesting idea back in the day. All right, so a couple of birthdays to throw out here, Trey. It is the 37th birthday of one Katy Perry.
Oh, I love Katy Perry. Is she really 37?
37.
Wow.
Yeah.
She is, she's hot, Chad. No other way to put it.
The grandfather I never met apparently would say that she's not hard to look at. That's the way he would say it.
Easy on the eyes.
Yes.
That's not what the granddad used to say.
Not hard to look at.
Less perverted manner.
She's so beautiful.
Looks
yeah.
good as a blonde. Looks good as a brunette.
Dude, think about how many colors you've seen in her hair. She's gone with like blue, super pink, yellow, all these different things. The Super Bowl halftime show, she looked amazing.
Yeah.
When my kid was younger, she went through a Katy Perry phase as a younger child and wanted to go see the documentary. I gladly took her because I'm such a good father, Trey. That's why I went.
Lucky
then,
you.
Yeah, I looked at Katy Perry on a movie screen for an hour and a half. Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah. But
she's extremely talented. Hey,
I do question her taste in men, though. She dated Russell Brand for a while, though he's actually a good dude. I hate to bag on Russell Brand. He's a little bit of a wackadoo, but he's a bright dude, too.
Yeah, that documentary will reteach you the lesson that even the most attractive women on the face of the earth will overlook stuff. Because when you see her look at Russell Brand, you're just like, really? Really, Katy? Really?
He's a very smart guy. I hate to bag on the dude because he's a bit wacky, but respectable. You listen to the guy in the conversation, you understand how he could hold somebody's attention like that. Apparently, she's with Orlando Bloom now, too.
Oh, there you go.
She upgraded in the looks department.
I was about to say, that's a good-looking couple right there. Speaking of a good-looking couple, Ciara is 36 years old today.
I don't know who that is.
That's Mrs. Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah, I do know who that is. She's attractive, too.
She's now taking care of a hurt quarterback at the house. Wonder what he's like. Think he's annoying when he's has to be at the house, hurt.
Oh, so whiny.
He's on IR right now. You think she just comes up with, hey, Russ, I got to go, man. I got to go. I got to lunch with the girls today.
How about Craig Robinson having a birthday today? Underrated funny guy.
He is good. He is good. Now pushing the Pizza Hut on TV.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. I've never seen Hot Tub Time Machine. Is that worth my time?
Yeah, it's an entertaining movie.
I've heard good things. I've just never seen it.
It's got John Cusack. It has, what's that girl's name? She's attractive as well. It has the portly kid from I'm Dying Up Here. He's been in some other things as well. Yeah, that movie's worth checking out. We may have to review that one this offseason.
Since the World Series is coming up tomorrow, let me throw Pedro's birthday out there. Pedro Martinez is 50 today, which makes me feel old. But
his freakish fingers.
Good for Pedro. And he's become a really, really good broadcaster. The honesty Pedro Martinez has brought to broadcasting, I think, has been refreshing, eye-opening. The fact that he's owned that the Yankees are my daddy thing and they turned it into a segment. I love that, man. I think that MLB Network show is good, and he's one of the reasons why. He's been much better at that than I thought he would.
Yeah, he is good, and he also has those freakish fingers that bend backwards and allowed him to get that crazy spin on the baseball when he was actually a pitcher. Hey, it's Bob Knight's birthday today, Chad.
Yes.
How many candles do you think he's trying to scream out on the cake today?
I think he's going to scream 67 of the 81 out.
Okay.
The others are going to have to – the other, 14 are going to have to go out another way. He'll have to beat them out. He'll just take his fist and smack the cake.
Just Hulk smash the cake.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Where is he now? Is he still out in Lubbock?
I have no idea where Bob Knight is hanging these days.
He was in rough shape the last time I saw him on television. Like, he may not have much longer.
Yeah, the last time I saw him was when ESPN had him sitting in that theater room. I guess it was out in his house, wherever he was. But remember when he would sit in the theater room and break down film?
Yeah, that was a while ago, though, wasn't it?
That's maybe.
I feel like he went back to Indiana sometime in the last couple of years.
Oh, that's right. They did let him wave.
The national championship team.
Yeah, they celebrated either the perfect team or the 81 team. Probably the 81 team because it was 30-year anniversary.
Yeah.
or 30, was that 40 year anniversary of that team?
Yeah.
God, I can't even do the math.
No, it may have actually been the, what was it, 76 team?
The perfect team.
Yeah, it may have been the perfect team. So this may have been 5 years ago at this point, but he looked rough back then.
Yeah, that makes sense because that would have been a 5 anniversary off of the 76 team. Yeah. Yeah, I hope, I'm not sure how coach is doing at 81 years old, but I'm sure he is yelling and or swearing at someone today.
Mm-hmm.
That temper is probably not changing.
Yesterday was National Bologna Day. Now, the rumor with bologna, even going back to childhood, is that bologna was the dregs of the meat-making process, just all jammed together and turned into bologna. As a fat kid, I was okay with bologna, but if you fried the bologna up, I was much more likely to eat it. I didn't like the cold bologna that much, though.
I'm with you there. My granddad would fry up the bologna. He would also fry up Spam, and it was very good, so I'm not an anti-Spam guy for that reason. But if I had a choice, I'd much prefer like a ham or a turkey if I could get it. Mm-hmm. But I'll take bologna all day long over the olive loaf. My brother loved olive loaf. My granddad was into it. My grandmother would eat that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Just the something about a slice of meat that had little flecks of green in it freaked me out as a kid. I wanted nothing to do with olive loaf. So I'll take all the bologna you got. If I don't have to eat the olive loaf,
I'm probably going olive loaf over bologna. But if I'm having to choose olive loaf, bologna, or vegetarian, I'm going vegetarian option that day.
You're going veggie. Do they have veggie bologna probably by now?
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Do they have a vegetarian option?
Veggie version of everything, including bacon, which is sacrilege.
Now that is crazy. I've had turkey bacon. That's as healthy as I'll go on bacon. I'll do turkey bacon. I don't need veggie bacon.
Even turkey bacon. Just go find something else to eat if you're really trying to replicate bacon with turkey. Not the same.
I'm just saying, I'm telling you, it's not in my house. If it's offered, I'll eat it. That's what I'm saying. I don't choose to eat it.
If it's offered alongside pork bacon?
Well, yeah, especially then.
You're taking turkey bacon?
No, I make a sandwich.
Ah, okay.
A turkey, I take 2 pieces of regular bacon and I put the turkey bacon inside and just boom.
I used to love, God, this is so much fun to do in Chicago, a city that is as pretentious with its vegetarianism as any place, surprisingly, because Chicago is a town that loves its meat, too. But you find vegetarians in Chicago, they are very uptight. Go someplace that offers a really good, like, veggie burger, but also does have meat options, and order the veggie burger with bacon on top.
Ooh.
It causes the vegetarian server who's helping you out, it causes them to have a freaking embolism.
Really?
They just, like, stop writing for a second and, like, look away in, like, a slightly spectrum manner and then look back at you to try and figure out if you're serious or you're just being ironic and going over their heads, and you're like, no, I'm serious. I like y'all's veggie burger. But I also love bacon, so I think the combination of the two together will be really good.
And go ahead and cut up some sausage in there for me, too. Yeah. Can you put some sausage on there, please?
Right.
And a little corned beef.
And some vegan A's.
Yeah, I have all that. And some fries. All right, coming up, we'll get you stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, we are set on a World Series, and that starts tomorrow. Tell you about those pitchers. The big story of the day with Texas Tech moving on from their head coach. And Texas and Iowa State, we are still waiting for that kick time. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins.
Trey. Last new song for today, New Music Friday on a Monday. This is Real Estate, and the song is called Days.
See, that's deep right there. Real Estate. Yeah, see, it's a lot. 2 different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive. New music out there. We heard from La Luz. We heard from Bush, Government Mule, and the Rolling Stones with a revamped, reworked version of Tattoo You with a bunch of extra stuff on it if you want to check it out. So if you want to see, they may have a new version of Hang Fire, which now I've got to go check out. And Tattoo You would also, I think it's, does it start with Start Me Up? Is that the first song on Tattoo You?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a pretty good way. Pretty good way to start the album. That was a slightly big hit for them back in the day. All right, new music hitting on Friday. Sometimes we bring you that on a Monday. We also bring you, right about this time every day, stems and seeds, stuff we might have forgotten or just some extra stuff before we get out of here. Here we go.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Again, setting up Monday Night Football tonight, you got New Orleans and Seattle. Sounds great, but it's 3-2 New Orleans at 2-4 Seattle without Russell Wilson. So New Orleans got to go win that game, Trey. If they've got any hope of really being something, Jameis Winston doesn't need to walk out of there 3-3. Saints have to go win that thing.
Yeah, and I feel like they will win too, although who knows. This NFL season has been so wacky with guys filling in at quarterback, sometimes getting the job done, other times not. Jameis Winston has been up and down with the Saints. They could be getting Michael Thomas back soon, which could really help them, to your point. If they win tonight, maybe they can get on a little bit of a roll after that. Because even though that division is probably not there for the taking anymore, it looks like Tampa is going to grab hold of that and really not let go. There are plenty of other playoff spots up for grabs, and they can definitely still make the playoffs in that conference.
Interesting pitching matchup to start the World Series tomorrow night. Some guy named Charlie Morton is going to pitch for Atlanta in Houston against the Astros, and Framber Valdez goes for Houston. Any thoughts on the World Series? You got a gut on this one?
I have no strong opinion one way or the other. I've watched a grand total of about two innings this postseason.
The good news for the Astros fans is that stupid all-star game rule is not in place anymore that could have trapped them. They should be the home team here, and they are. Yeah. They've won, seven or eight more games than the Braves. And both these teams are on a bit of a roll. They've got some players that are, playing really well. The one guy that keeps blinking at me is Yordan Alvarez.
Mm-hmm.
Just a guy that's coming on like he is.
He mashes.
I just feel like the Astros get those hits every time they need them. That lineup is so deep.
Yeah, the late inning stuff also, and whether it's come from behind or adding insurance runs, that has been money for them.
They are deadly. Tomorrow night, game one, the whole thing will be on Fox. Texas and Iowa State, no kick time yet. We'll go 6-day window on that one, and we'll be getting you ready for Texas and Baylor all throughout the week. Remember, watch party bright and early on Saturday, 11 a.m. It is a Pluckers watch party, as always. We're going South Lamar this week. And if you're just jumping in, Matt Wells fired at Texas Tech. Matt Nagy has COVID for the Bears. He's out for a little while.
And does he have COVID, or did he say he has COVID to avoid getting fired for 10 days?
Maybe that. And Joe Barry, the Green Bay defensive coordinator, he's out Thursday night because he tested positive for COVID. So that's something to pay attention to. They haven't said who's going to call plays yet. So you're about to face Kyler Murray in Arizona, and your D coordinator gets COVID. Now, that's a challenge, Trey, on a short week.
Yes, it is.
Whoa. Keep an eye on that one this week, too. All right. RBKD coming up. Have a good Monday. See you.